Welcome to the Circle Sessions featuring the Circle of Experts. Each week, one of the Circle of Experts joins me to talk about critical aspects of growing your podcast. The Circle of Experts are Yasmin Robles and Izzy Dadosky from Rebel Marketing, Tanisha English-Amamu of TJE Communications, and Don the Idea Guy. I'm Brett Johnson, my podcast guy from Circle 270 Media Podcast Consultants. This week, Yasmin and Izzy are here. They work alongside clients to design a website that's driven by strategy, looks amazing, and that you can use to grow your podcast, and then in turn, your business as well. Yasmin and Izzy, thanks for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Sure. Hey, we wanted to talk about building a personal brand. And I think a lot of content creators, businesses, don't really think about, they know what they want to do, whether it's creating this product or this content or whatever, but they don't really think about how do you as a business, as a person, look like to the outside world. And I think what we're talking about today is going to be a great guide for podcasters and entrepreneurs as well. So Yasmin, let's take a look at, we need to define that unique value proposition, the UVP, as you put it. Talk about what that is, what you're thinking it is.
So a UVP, I mean, if you want to think, have it sound really, really snazzy, you can say a UVP, unique value proposition, but it's basically what makes you, what identifies you as unique and how you particularly solve issues for your audience. It depends on what niche you're in, but really that's the whole, the basic, what it means.
Right. Yeah. Well, I think too, I've struggled with this as well too. Maybe let's take a look at this as, and I'll ask you, does it have to be defined in stone right out of the chute? Or is it just like, just get started and it can always evolve?
Well, I personally am of the personality of that, just go ahead and do it and then figure it out. Build the plane as you go, or mm-hmm. just don't crash it nowadays. But I think really figuring out who you are and what you're offering, and the only way you can figure that out, or even like if you're figuring out basic things in life, like what do I really like to do? What hobbies do I like? You're not going to know that until you try a few out. So if you don't know what your unique value proposition is yet, that's fine. Do a couple of different things in order to be able to figure that out, and what problems you can solve for people, how they describe their problems, because you might be describing them in a different way. I like to go back to the personal trainer kind of thing, where it's, you might be saying, let's get healthy, and I might be hearing, oh, there's another thing for me to do. And that does not sound delicious as a cheeseburger might be. So really understanding what problems, unique problems you solve for your audience, how to message that to them that they, in a way that they will understand. So if you're talking to a different generation, Gen Z versus millennial, it's a different language almost. Mm-hmm. And how you present yourself to them and help them solve. I don't know if Izzy, you want to add anything to it.
I think you got that section covered.
Yeah. Well, and this leads to the next, Izzy, the next idea that you guys want to talk about, and I think is really good, is to have that clear brand voice. And I, in my mind, as soon as I read that, I'm thinking is with your brand voice is be yourself, because if you have to fake it, you're not going to do it. Don't be somebody you're not. Is that what you're kind of bringing to the plate here with a brand voice?
Yeah. And just also making sure it's consistent throughout. If like your website tone is different than your social media tone, sometimes I just feel like your message kind of gets a little bit lost, or they're trying to like figure out who you are and like what you're doing. Let me think of an example. Like Duolingo is like funny, and that's what they focus on as a brand, because it like gets them a lot more individuals like signing up for Duolingo. But on their website, it's also worded professionally, but they still have those like fun little tweaks in there. And if they didn't have that, then it would just be like, oh, you're just trying to like have a social media scheme against a bunch of people to have them sign up. So it's really important to just like make sure that what you're putting as your brand voice is consistent through every channel, or else it might just seem like disingenuine.
Yeah, I could see that too, being consistent, that if anybody would meet you at the grocery store
Yeah.
or at a networking event, that is like, wait a minute, you're so much different than you are on your videos and such,
Yeah.
that all of a sudden there's a disconnect in a huge way. Again, being that be true to yourself almost. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just like, if you talk to me, I'm going to talk to you as I would my friends, because I can't fake being somebody else. So it's like,
Yeah.
in the professional setting, you'll like get like a toned down version, but you're still going to see like my personality come out. You know
Right.
what I'm saying? Because if I walked up to you and was like, "Hi, how are you guys doing today?" everybody would think like I'm being held hostage with the gun to my
Okay.
head. So it's
Right,
like
right.
you have to be like making sure you're putting like your own self within your branding, or else it just seems like you're being a fake. So
Right. Yeah. And then it comes down to our next topic of, designing a consistent visual identity. That's one thing I'm really bad at. I have the consistency of audio. I'm not a very visual person, but it's really important. I mean, Yasmin, you guys do it really, really well with Rebel Marketing, and I know everybody that touches you with what they do, you emphasize that. Can you talk a little bit more about, we've had previous episodes about color scheme and font scheme and such like that. Can you kind of maybe that 10,000 foot look at, having that consistent visual identity?
yeah, so I would say, even if you want to just simplify it, we have a friend who their color is purple, and she just wears mostly purple and dyes her hair mostly purple. And I think just even thinking of it that way, think of your personal brand, or your podcast, your business, as this consistent representation of your personality. So if purple is your color, your website should probably have that same purple. Your social media should probably have a similar look and feel. If it's too overwhelming, if you're like, "I just want a subtle touch of whatever that color may be," we have a client who's basically it's black and white and then a touch of red, to the point where we are even borders on the website have gone from 5 pixels to 2 pixels in height, just because, or width of a border, just because we want to maintain that it's a touch of red. It's a little bit of cilantro. You don't want a taco with a bunch of cilantro on it. If that makes sense, if that metaphor makes sense. But really, it's staying consistent. So I know some people get overwhelmed. They get a brand guide from a company, and it's like all of these different colors and how to use these colors, what colors the buttons should be, what fonts you should use. And ultimately, I think pick the few things that you can for sure remember. So if it is that font and the particular color of your brand, and then try to make sure, take this overall view of your pamphlets, your website, your business cards, like bring it all together in one place and say, does this look like it's the same company? And back to what Izzy was saying about that messaging, does it also look like or sound like it's the same company? So if your website is very stuffy, but your social media, you're having a lot of fun, you're very casually dressed, and then you go to a networking event and you're dressed up super like to the nines, like you walk in and you look like you stepped off a runway. Those are three very different ways of speaking to your audience, and it's not consistent at all. So we're talking about personal brands, about entrepreneurs and podcasters. So for us at Rebel Marketing, that's why we also changed our name, because it just didn't feel, Rebelless Designs didn't feel consistent anymore. We kept the similar color scheme. We basically kept the same color scheme, but now the messaging is there, our quirkiness, our jokes. If we talk about tequila or tacos, it all really does fit. Hopefully that helps. But if you are feeling overwhelmed with everything needs to be consistent, focus on a couple of things. Make sure your logo looks consistent everywhere, making sure that the colors are consistent and the fonts. And if that's the only thing that you can focus on now, because we know that you're inundated as an entrepreneur, then just focus on those, and then you can build up as you go.
Yeah, another good example is one of our circle session experts, Don, the idea guy, utilizes the color yellow quite a bit. Now, that stems from a campaign he had of a daily post of a note on a big yellow sticky note. So the yellow piece of it even had a yellow Jeep for a while. So he really has driven that yellow consistency as part of his branding on his website and such like that. So even if it just comes down to a color, he's accomplish that. He's probably got more to it than that I realize, but the yellow sticks out. So even just that simple example that way, it doesn't have to be 10,000 points put together. It's like just pick a color and go with it and build on that sort of thing too. I just recently, in the past year, finally put together what I felt is a better elevator pitch. It's hard because you have to encapsulate what you do for everyone. And you're the same as I. You do a lot of things for a lot of different clients, but what is that end result that your clients come together? So Izzy, talk a little bit about crafting a compelling elevator pitch rather than just saying, I do this. And they go, great. Okay, give me a business card. I'll see if I can help. Sort of thing.
Yeah. So elevator pitches can really just range. But with an elevator pitch, you're trying to get as much information as you can in those 30 seconds where it's clear and concise so the pe person actually knows what you're doing. So for us, I feel like we kind of add some flair whenever we're talking to people when they're like, what do you do? And then we have those like words that we have all over our website, like drool worthy websites, like all this other stuff. But having that down instead of like when somebody comes up to you and says like, oh, what do you do? And you're just like, it kind of gives the person you're talking to like a, oh, they don't know what they do, that like type of vibe. So it's definitely important to have an elevator pitch. But I also wouldn't make it seem like you've rehearsed it 5 million times too, because sometimes that's a little off-putting when like someone comes up to you and they seem like a robot and they're like, I do this, this, and this, and like seems like they've been practicing it. I think it's more just like having that flow with it. You know what you're going to cover when you're talking to somebody, and it has that general explanation of what you do. So.
Yeah, I forget where I got this piece of advice on creating one, but it was that focusing on what you do for your clients as the pitch. That way, it's the opportunity to number one, explain what you do because it's wrapped in that, as well as it probably is going to trigger something in that person's mind you're talking to and going, oh, I know somebody that could use your help because they're having that problem versus the nuts and bolts of what you do. It's, I solve these problems
Yep.
with what
So
I do.
I would also want elevator pitches, they're very hard to do. But if you've done a messaging brand guide, so we brand guides can be the visuals, but they can also be the language that you can use throughout your website when you're speaking with someone. So one of ours that is in on our current business card is, and I'm going to get this wrong, but marketing should fit you like your favorite pair of stretchy pants. So that tells you that we do marketing, but it also gives you a little bit of personality. Like we want your marketing to fit who you are, just like your favorite pair of stretchy pants. We also have like we build drool worthy websites and brands, but it depends on who your audience is, because if I'm speaking to a CEO, they might not really understand why they need a new website. So then we can pivot our elevator pitch to focusing on strategy, and like we help businesses get an ROI from their marketing to obtain their growth strategies, et cetera, et cetera. So try to make sure that it's focused on them. You don't want to say, hi, my name is Yasmin Robles. We are Rebel Marketing. We do this, we do that. No, it's not about us. It's really about who you're going to serve and what their ultimate goal is. Because yes, although we create websites, that's not the end goal. That's not what Rebel Marketing is. Rebel Marketing is making you money and crafting strategic marketing plans for 4 to 6 month sprints or longer, helping you wrangle everything that you've got going on. So think about who you're in front of. A CEO is going to think differently than like a marketing coordinator. So if we're in front of these people, we're going to speak differently to each of their goals. And you want to lead with the ultimate thing. So if you're a personal trainer, you're not going to come to me and be like, I'm a personal trainer. I'm going to make you do a bunch of squats because I don't care. I don't want to plank for a minute. That does not feel fun to me. But if you tell me, how are you feeling with your skinny jeans? Did you slightly overdo it when you were doom scrolling and like crying and eating a bunch of chocolates? Like, is that maybe we need to work out a little bit, get some movement in. So meet the audience, not me. I would never do that, but meet the audience where they're at, speak to the problem that they're having, and then give them the solution the way they would describe it.
Right, exactly. And that kind of leads to your next point too, of building that personal brand, of using content that you're already creating and or thinking about creating. So Yasmin, let's talk about all the different things that you can do, between blogs and podcasts. That's tip of the iceberg of what you create, using it many, many, many more times, but also incorporating it in a really well-designed website, which you guys do as well.
Yeah, so I know Izzy can speak a little bit more to this. I'm going to say just repurpose everything you're creating. So if you're focusing in on your SEO, or if we're doing it for you, we're creating those blog posts that are 1,000, 2,000 words to get you found in SEO. There's a lot that goes in there. But if we're trying to create those for you, likely you can then repurpose that information for a podcast, for a video. If you're recording the podcast, might as well record a video, see if you can use that. And then you can repurpose all of that content for social media. I don't know, Izzy, if you want to jump in.
Yeah, and then also just with the blog posts and the SEO, for us, if like we're writing your blog posts, I typically try to go in and see what keywords are trending for that industry. So then they can have a blog post about what's going on. So then they get those relevant searches from people who are looking for things like that. But it like also just matters for even your website. If you have those backlinks to something that you're tied to, that also brings up a bunch of searches. And then like podcasts, they're great for just you promoting yourself and how your brand is. And I think, yeah, that's the only other thing I can think of for that.
Yeah, I was talking to a podcaster this morning that was having difficulty continuing to blog. And he is not shy from the camera. He does a really good job in front of the camera. He can vent very well in regards to political problems, business problems, that sort of thing. So he suggested, well, there's your hurdle. Writing the blog is the hurdle. Why don't you just create a vlog yourself on cam for 2 or 3, 5 minutes? We'll just transcribe that vlog that you created. There's your blog, but then you have also created a video as well too. And his eyes just lit up going, I could do that. I said, oh yeah, for sure. And if that will give you the energy to create content, get away from writing blogs, do the vlog and let it come out of your brain naturally, and we'll create it on the back end. So really go with what you're comfortable with, or learn yourself over time too. Exactly. Engaging authentically on social media, that to me, our next topic speaks to also understanding what social media you want to be on. If you want to engage authentically and you're not an X person, you probably oughtn't go there. Let's dig into that too. I mean, I know Izzy can address this probably really, really well at building those relationships. You have relationships with products online. Let's talk about that. Yeah.
Well, one, who is an X person? X sucks. Nobody wants to be on X. Two,
And you're an XX,
yeah,
right?
I'm
Yeah.
Xing X right now.
Yeah, right.
Two, I am brand's target demographic. I love to go on brand's pages and comment stuff that's like ridiculous. So, Jimmy John's, they followed me on Twitter for long, but then I deleted Twitter. So, sorry, Jimmy, I lost you. Yeah, Skyline was one of their followers for a second, then they unfollowed me. And I don't know why. Skyline, please come back. I'm sorry for whatever I did. But having that engagement with people who are like very passionate about your brands just kind of gives them that feedback where it's like, oh my gosh, like so excited. And they're probably going to go tell a bunch of people like that that happened, that there's like some kind of engagement back, or like, oh my gosh, they commented back on like what I posted, and just have that. Then maybe their friends will try to go get a response too. So I think it's like really smart when brands do that, especially when it's like those bigger brands where everybody kind of knows who they are. So, I mean, like with Duolingo dying this week, it's just like a really sensitive subject, honestly. So
Yeah.
yeah, the Duolingo owl is dead, if you didn't know. He
Oh, wow.
disappeared. But yeah, it's been a rough week. But yeah, but having those conversations, like especially in the comments of those bigger brands, I think it's good for them. But also, like if I'm commenting for Rebel Marketing on some of these posts on LinkedIn or Instagram or whatever, it's like getting us engaged on what the brands are doing too. So like then that can also like kind of set your tone of voice of what your brand is and different things like that. So, and then also what you're commenting on can also set that standard as well. So.
Yeah, I'm seeing a quite a few, and this is just catching my eye. I'm seeing more people taking screenshots of interactions they're having, and posting it. This has been more on LinkedIn because I'm on LinkedIn more often than not, that they post something or they've commented to post and they're taking a screenshot of that interaction. To me, that shows that, yeah, it's something important. You can showcase that you have interaction and the reverse too. So kind of look at it as a two-way street of how, whatever you're looking at it coming from,
Yeah.
to work with it.
And like, especially now with TikTok, it's like a big thing for if a brand posts something or sometimes it's even just a normal person, but then you'll see like maybe 10 brands in there trying to at least relate to the video or they're trying to make the best comment. So those people will like it and then share it. So it's like they don't even have to really create their own original content now. It's them going on other pages and trying to be the top comment to talk about. So,
Yeah, exactly. Now that we are doing a lot more face-to-face, networking is a bit more important, but I think going at it strategically because we're going to get inundated with those opportunities again. And for a while, we weren't doing that. And Yasmin, I know we've talked about this in a previous episode that for a year you really dedicated doing a lot of time networking and kind of learned what to do, what not to do, not in regards to personally, but what events are worthwhile. Maybe dig a little bit deeper into that.
yeah, so the moral of this story is don't do what I do, but here is what I'm doing. yeah, so a while back I went to it was just like I don't know, it was crazy, a hectic time, but went to almost every single networking event that I could financially go to and had the time to. And at some points, going to back to back, like a morning event to a lunch event to some kind of meeting, and then maybe an evening networking event. And then, so that's what I did in order to find out where my people were, essentially. And which events really, I know it's a kind of a cliche, but like fill your cup. So which ones did I leave energized, or which ones did I leave feeling really drained, or like there were a lot of clicks in there? And so that's how I started to weed through the all of the events that are happening, because we're in Columbus, Ohio, and then there's events that we've gone to in Cincinnati, and we're looking for events this year in other states. So trying to weed out which ones really have us feeling energized and helped us either internally as a business or actually getting us some kind of client. So that's the way that we've done it. And although this quarter has been a little hectic for me in terms of how many events I'm going to and meetings I'm holding, it is a good way to figure out where your people are and then where those potential partners might be. So we are a marketing agency, but there are sometimes, like I just met a woman who is an IT consultant. That's not something that we do. We don't create software. That's not at all where we want to go, what we want to do. And so you start to create this network of people where she doesn't do marketing, we don't do software development. And then there can be some synergy is a corporate word, but some collaboration there for certain clients that could be helpful. So you don't just meet people that could be potential clients. You meet people that you can collaborate with, that you, if even if you meet a quote unquote frenemy, right? Somebody that's in the same industry, you can hop on a podcast with them and pick their brain. You can be a guest on their podcast or their email list, and it just helps create this amazing network that where you can receive support and you can give support, potentially get clients and get noticed for your brand.
I think you have more confidence in doing those networking events as well if you have pretty much all your ducks in a row of just all the things we just talked about.
I would
Everything
say
else you're
yes,
doing. Yeah.
but I have made so many weird, like I am just a very awkward person in general. So going to so many events and sometimes your elevator pitch will just work out really well. Sometimes you're trying a new one and it'll just kind of bomb. And after that has happened, or you, not speaking from experience, but like your shoe might get stuck in between some bricks on a street while you are walking to a networking event and people see that. not speaking from experience at all, but these things happen to you. And after you've been, let's say you're consistently going for 2 quarters or like 6 months to all of these networking events, you kind of get used to it and you find a flow and you get used to being whatever you are. Like if you are an awkward person, you get used to it. You kind of start to figure out when you are feeling most energetic and when you have to just pause for a minute and ask yourself, should I really go to this particular event the way I'm feeling right now? Or you just find out which shoes are better in which areas of the city.
Or just know that you're going to make an entrance every time. That
Yes.
grand
Yeah.
entrance of tripping. I
Yes.
mean, yeah, potentially. Yeah. Your next topic I really do like is that highlighting testimonials and success stories. It's kind of a dual-edged sword, though. If you don't have many, you got to ask for them. And if you're lucky enough that you have people that are more than willing to do some testimonials and success stories, got to run with it. So, yeah, Izzy, can you talk about showcasing them? Let's just say that you're in a good position that you're getting them. You have your mechanism in play to get the testimonials and success stories. Let's talk about how to showcase that feedback.
We've done it a few different ways. Typically, you'll see just people post like the screenshot of whatever they wrote on their Google review as a testimonial, and that's like good enough. Like it's showing that you have that trust in different things. We've also done video testimonials, so it's like we'll give them like a prompt of a question just so they know like what to say, but it's not us like being like, say we're good, because they have to
Right.
like sign up for it to do it. But it's more of like, what did we work on for you? And then how did that help, if it did? But getting those testimonials, especially those video ones, it's nice to see the person that actually wrote the review, and get their like genuine feedback. And then it just builds that credibility and trust overall. So.
Right. Next, we want to talk about optimizing your online presence. You can do all these things, but if you're not optimizing it, website, even your social media, making sure everything's done properly on that, you're kind of shouting in the wind because it's not going to get noticed, or you're not going to be able to get people found. Yasmin, can you talk a little bit more about that? Ensuring that when you do something and you creating something, that it's the best it can be.
Yeah. So, for example, I know a lot of our clients, if they just sign up for a one and done website project, they're like, what do I do next? How do I get people to it? And there's a lot more that goes into your digital presence and making sure that you are found and that you are consistent. So, we talked a little bit about branding. We talked about your voice. I think Izzy touched a little bit on SEO and the research that goes in there, because SEO is going to get a few eyes on your website. And I would say it also goes back to this, making sure your social profiles, that messaging is on point, so that if you are like Duolingo and you do have a funny, maybe sarcastic side to your messaging, that everything is reflected, everything is very cohesive with colors, the messaging, everything like that. Izzy, do you want to touch on expanding on your online presence?
I don't know if I have anything else to like say about it, is the
Okay.
thing. It's
No.
I
Well, and oh, go ahead, Yasmin. Go ahead.
would say another way to really to optimize that online presence is to have a goal for everything that you're doing digitally. The beauty of digital is that if you print something, you print the wrong phone number on a business card, you'll have to do a reprint. You might have accidentally handed that out, and now people don't have your right phone number. The beauty of digital is that you can shift it. You can change anything that you do to a certain point. So having a goal, have like a 3 month goal, have a 6 month goal, a 1 year goal of what you want your digital platforms to do for you. How does your website fit into your marketing goals? If you do have an account with Twitter or X or TikTok or whichever one of, what is the ultimate goal of having that digital presence? Are you just testing it out, or are you trying to gain followers? Are you trying to get people to sign up for a free newsletter or something that you're sending out? Maybe you are a news news curator, right? And so you want people to sign up for your Substack. What exactly is the goal of all of these digital platforms that you might be using? How do they all fit into that ecosystem? They each have their own job. So a website might have a different role than your Instagram account, but they're working together in some way, shape, or form, kind of like departments in a company. And each of them need their goals. So that's the first question that we would probably ask you if you were being onboarded is what is the goal for your Instagram account? Why do you have an Instagram account? Do we need to have an Instagram account, or is it just literally so nobody takes your name on Instagram?
Right. Well, and Izzy, you can say something to this. I know, and it goes just to what Yasmin was talking about, is staying consistent. It's that what do you want to occur at X amount of time? Let's say it's in 12 months. If that's the case and you're not consistent, you're not going to get there. So staying consistent is really important.
Yeah, and also just with like socials and different things, it's the colors, it's the logos, make sure that's basically on everything. Because it then like you have to think about Instagram. If I click on your Instagram page and like nothing seems cohesive like right away, it's typically like pretty frowned upon on that platform. But also it's the tone of voice. Like if I go on Instagram, are you going to talk the same on Facebook, or is it going to be like completely different because you're trying to like cater. And you can still like alter it based on like the platforms, just make sure the tone is the same, is the only thing. And then also posting needs to be consistent, because if like we try to post at least like minimum 2 times a week, but if we didn't post for like a year, I feel like it people would forget who we are, what we look like, and how we act. So it's like very important, especially for just brands in general, to get that out, if they are trying to be on socials more. But yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people take a look at, creating content and they think that, okay, if I create one thing, I could just post it everywhere. To your point, it has to meet what that social media platform is expecting, what the viewers are expecting, as you're saying too. Plus, it's that, okay, do you really pick the platform you want to be on that you're going to interact? A lot of what we just talked about kind of comes back together is like, you don't have to be everywhere. You just need to be where you need to be and do it really well for consistency. Right, exactly. So, if anybody has any, our listener has a question about any of those points that you brought up, what's the best way to get a hold of Rebel Marketing?
Well, you can get a hold of us on LinkedIn. That's where we're most active. Search us up, search Izzy up. If you do want a workbook to go through your marketing, you can go on our website, myrebelmarketing.com/checklist, and you can download it's there's videos video series that will go out to you to explain how to utilize it. It's a couple of pages long. We try to make it we try not to make you go crazy or get frustrated, but there are a couple pages that you need to fill in. So if you do feel overwhelmed, let us know. You can always hit us up or schedule a call, or message us on Instagram or LinkedIn. But we try to make it so that it was very a cohesive way for you to set the tone for your marketing. It touches on SEO, your I think it Izzy, I think it touches on like email marketing, a bunch of other stuff. And but if you do feel overwhelmed when you get it, let us know and we can help.
And you also have a podcast too.
That's right, Izzy. Talk about our podcast.
I love that expression. That's right, we do.
Forgot we did that. Market Like It's Hot. It's on Spotify, Apple Music, all the places that you listen to podcasts, and it's awesome. So if you don't listen to it, I've heard that like that's your own fault. I don't know.
It's out there. Take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you want to talk about your podcast as well, or you're beginning a podcast, or you have one that's just not doing what you want it to do, or it's becoming more of a chore than it should be fun, you can hop on my calendar, mypodcastguy.com, and let's talk about some future tactics to get that podcast to be fun and effective for you again, too. Yasmin and Izzy, thanks again for joining me.
Thanks for having us.